This is Easter Sunday. It's known as Resurrection Day. I want to begin with a story. It was February the 27th, 1991, at the height of the Desert Storm. Ruth Dillo received a very sad message from the Pentagon. It stated that her son, Clayton Carpenter, Private First Class, had stepped on a mine in Kuwait and was dead. She later wrote, "I can't begin to describe my grief and shock. It was almost more than I could bear. For 3 days I wept. For 3 days I expressed anger and loss. For 3 days people tried to comfort me, but to no avail. The loss was too great." 3 days after receiving that message, the telephone rang. And the voice at the other end said, "Mom, it's me. I'm alive." And she went on to say, "I couldn't believe it at first, but then I recognized the voice. He was really alive. The message was all a mistake." She said, "I laughed, I cried, I felt like turning cartwheels because my son, whom I thought was dead, was really alive. Today, I want to tell you, Christ was dead, but he's alive." 3 days after he said, "It is finished," and his head slumped to his chest on that cross, 3 days later, he was alive. John chapter 20, begin reading with verse 1. "Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. So she came running to Simon Peter and the other disciples, the one Jesus loved, and said, 'They have taken the Lord out of the tomb. We don't know where they have put him.' So Peter and the other disciple started for the tomb. Both were running, but the other disciple," that's John, that's the way he wrote in his literature, Johannine literature. "The other disciple outran Peter and ran to the tomb first. But he bent over and looked in, and the linen was lying there, but he did not go in. Then Simon Peter, who was behind him, arrived and went into the tomb, and he saw the strips of linen laying there, as well as the barrel and the cloth that had been around Jesus' head. The cloth was folded up by itself and separate from the linen. Finally, the other disciple who had reached the tomb first went inside, and he saw and believed. They still didn't understand from the scripture that Jesus had to raise from the dead. Then the disciples went back to their homes. But Mary stood outside the tomb crying. As she wept, she bent over to look in the tomb, and she saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot. And they asked her, 'Woman, why are you crying?' 'They've taken my Lord away,' she said, 'and I don't know where they have put him.' At this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not realize that it was Jesus. 'Woman,' he said, 'why are you crying? Who is it you're looking for?' Thinking he was the gardener, she said, 'Sir, if you've carried him away, tell me where you put him, and I will go get him.' Jesus said to her, 'Mary,' and she turned toward him and cried out in Aramaic, 'Rabboni,' which means teacher. Jesus said, 'Do not hold on to me, or don't touch me, for I have not yet returned to the Father. Go and stood to my brothers and tell them I'm returning to the Father and your Father, my God and your God.' Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news, 'I have seen the Lord.'" Now, these two scriptures describe that early morning, that early Easter morning. Christ's suffering had been beyond anything that we could imagine. In an old book, and I have a copy of it, Geki's Life of Christ. It's very old. It's been out of print for years and years and years and years. It says, and in fact, he was talking about it when Isaiah says that his visage was unrecognizable. He says that he was so beaten that he wasn't recognizable. It's beyond imagination, the horror of being whipped with that whip. If you study history, you will find that they would bend a person over, strip them down till their flesh was showing, and they would bind their hands to the ground like this, in this position, so they couldn't move, and they would hit them across the back with that whip. They say, according to history, they say that they were thong, little strips at the end of a whip, and that they were little lead balls with glass in it. I was raised in Texas, and here in Oklahoma, you know this. If a cowboy knows how to use a whip correctly, he can pop it and make a horse go, or he can pop it and cut that horse's flesh open with that whip. Not only were they hitting him with the whip, they had those little balls of lead with glass in them, and they would rake it across his back, and his back was being ripped wide open. But they say that the history says that sometimes it would wrap around and get the front torso, even their face. And as this goes along with what Isaiah says in his book, in his writings, the prophet said that he was so, his vicious, he was unrecognizable. He was so marred. And then they took him and they hung him on that cross. And there he hung. And then they took him down and they put him in a tomb. And that was a dark day for the disciples. They didn't understand it all. He had told them that he would raise after 3 days, but they didn't understand it. They had just eaten the Passover meal with him. If you will go and read the account in the Gospels, you'll find that the Jewish people, they always had the Passover meal, which was a remembrance of being delivered from Egypt. If you study types and shadows, as we did in school, Bible school, you'll find out that Egypt is a type of sin, and they were delivered by the blood. Remember the blood that was put over the top of the door and down each side? And he said, when I see the blood, I'll pass over you. That was what they were. But then they had the Passover meal. And now Jesus instituted a Passover meal for the Christians. It's called the Eucharist or the Communion. And he took bread and he broke it and he said, this is my body. And he took a cup and he drank from the cup. And this is before he was ever taken. They went out of that feast, out of the upper room, out the eastern gate, which is walled up right now in Jerusalem, down into the Valley of Kidron, up onto the edge of the Mount of Olives to the Garden of Gethsemane. There he left his disciples and he went to pray. And with great agony, he prayed, and it said he sweat as though it were great drops of blood. And he said, if it's possible, Lord, Father, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, your will be done. He got up and he went and he got his disciples and he waited for the angry mob to come and take him away. And now he's on Golgotha's hill, hanging on the cross. And he looks up with one last breath and says, my God, why is you forsaken me? He did not sin. The Bible says he became sin. Or a better translation is he took sin upon himself. And he said, it is finished. And they took him down from the cross and they put him in that tomb. I have been to Israel and I've been to Golgotha's hill. I've been to the tomb there and it's empty. He He is the only God of any religion that the tomb is empty. All the rest of them go to the tomb and pray to a dead God. We don't. We pray to a God that's alive and well. This seemed like a hopeless time as Jesus was lying in the tomb. But on that third day, he came out of that tomb with death, hell, and the grave, the keys to death, hell, and the grave in his hand. Somewhere in that, the Bible does not tell us what happened. I don't know what happened. Some people say he went down and fought with the devil. I don't know what happened. I do know the Bible says that he took the keys from the enemy himself. How he did it, I don't know. The Bible doesn't tell us, but I know that he arose victorious. Yes, amen. And he sits at the right hand of the Father tonight. He asked her a question. Why are you crying? Because he had told his followers that he would die, and in 3 days he would rise again. But they didn't understand it. But all of a sudden, her sadness and despair and bitter tears of grief was turned to gladness as she saw the Lord Jesus Christ on that resurrection Sunday. Many of you can remember how your grief and your sorrow and your sins were taken away on that day that you accepted Christ as your Savior. Yes, indeed, he died, but he's alive. Amen. The resurrection of Jesus makes Easter Sunday very special. You see, there is no other religion, if we will allow us to use that term, that has a God that is alive. I spent 22 months in Taipei, Taiwan, in the army. I would watch those people go to those shrines for their dead God and put money there and put food there and everything else and go through all kinds of different, what's the word I want to use? All kinds of different exercises, even to sometimes hitting themselves and beating on themselves to no avail. But all we have to do is look up and say, Jesus, I need help. And he's right there. What does Resurrection Day mean to all of us? It means that all of us that have sinned and come short of the glory of God now have salvation. All of us that have physical ailments now have healing through the stripes that he took upon his back. All of us are free from the demands of justice because Jesus took our place. He paid a debt he did not owe. We owed a debt we could not pay, and did indeed someone to wash my sins away. Now I sing a brand new song, Amazing Grace. My Jesus paid a debt that I could never pay. That's a song, in case some of you might remember that. We used to sing it. Jesus did what we could not do. He went where we could not go. He paid a debt that we cannot pay. The Apostle Paul said, he became sin for us so that in him we might become the righteousness of God in Christ. You find that in 2 Corinthians 5:21. He took our place. The resurrection of Jesus shows us that even in the worst of situations that you can imagine, there is a new life in Jesus. It seems that if your life is all over and your dreams have died, just look to Him and they can come alive again. And you can live the life that God wants you to live. Jesus said in John 10:10, I have come that you might have life and have it to the full, as one translation says. And I like that. One translation says have it more abundantly, but I like have it to the full. Because Jesus was resurrected from the dead to life, He can put life into us and we can live the life of God. John 14:6 says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. There is hope because of who Jesus is. He is a friend to the friendless. He's a compass to the lost traveler. He's the healer. He is the baptizer. He is the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. And one of these days, He's coming again. He was, He is, and He's coming again. There's hope for us today. And we can sing the song. Because He lives, I can face tomorrow. Because He lives, all fear is gone. Because I know who holds the future. All life is worth the living just because He lives. Jesus lives. And He will show you the way for your life to be the greatest that it can be. There's a story of a missionary in Brazil many, many, many years ago. He came upon a tribe of Indians in a remote part of the jungle. And they lived near a large river, but the tribe was in need of medical attention of a contagious disease that was ravaging the population. And the people were dying. A hospital was not too far away, just across the river. But they would not cross the river because they believed the river was inhabited by evil spirits, and to enter its water would mean certain death. The missionary explained how that he had crossed the river and was unharmed, but they were not impressed. Then he took them to the bank and placed his hand in the water, and they still were not impressed. He even walked out into the water waist deep and washed his face in the water, and it didn't matter. They were still afraid. Finally, he dove into the river and he swam to the other side underneath the water, and he emerged on the other side with his fist in the hand in the air. And when they saw he had entered the water and it escaped, it's then that they broke into a cheer and followed him across the river to get medical attention. Jesus died on the cross, plunging into death for us. Now we can safely follow him to eternal life on the other side. Thank God for Resurrection Sunday. This is our hour to enter a new life with God. This is your time to rededicate your life to God. And if you haven't ever accepted Christ, this is your time to accept Christ. This is our time to realize that our hopelessness and our despair, our defeat and our failure, our sickness and our disease, our poverty and lack can all be done away with because there is victory in Jesus Christ. He is the victor, and we can be victorious with Him. Jesus is risen. Let's celebrate. Up from the grave He arose, triumphant over it all. Heavenly Father, I have talked to these people for just a few minutes tonight. about Resurrection Sunday, which they all know. But Father, I pray that if there's anybody here that needs to rededicate their life, or anyone here that's never accepted Christ, that they would do so with heads bowed and eyes closed. If you happen to be here and you need to rededicate your life to God, or you need to accept Jesus Christ for the first time, would you just please raise your hand so I can pray for you? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Let's everyone stand. I see no hands. And I would like for everyone, this is a great time for each of us to rededicate ourselves to the Lord. This is a time to accept His victory that He's given to us. Just go ahead right now. And then, Father, we thank You that we can always come to You, and that we can always know that You're there to meet our every need. We thank You, Father, for the opportunity that we have to call upon You and know that You will hear us. You will deliver us. You will set us free. You'll give us the answers that we need to know. I thank You for it in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Would you please be seated again? We're going to take communion today. As the ushers come, I would ask that each of you would hold the emblems until everyone is served and we'll partake together. We believe in open communion. That means that you know that you are born again by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. You're welcome to partake of communion with us. The Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians 11:23, "For I received from the Lord that which I delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which He was betrayed, took bread. And when He had given thanks, He broke it and said, 'Take, eat. This is My body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of Me.' In the same manner, He also took the cup after supper, saying, 'This is the cup of the new covenant in My blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of Me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till He comes.'" That's exactly what Jesus did the night before He was betrayed. And so we are remembering Resurrection Sunday, and we are remembering His death, burial, and resurrection as we partake of these emblems. Let us worship together, sing with the group.
He became sin, who knew no sin, that we might become His righteousness. He humbled Himself and carried the cross.
Thank you, Jesus.
Love so amazing.
Love so amazing.
Love so amazing. Jesus, Jesus Messiah, name above all names, blessed Redeemer. Rescue for sinners, the ransom from heaven, Jesus, Jesus Messiah, Lord of all, Lord of all. His body, His body the bread, His blood the wine, broken and poured out, all for love. The whole earth trembled, and the there was torn. Love so amazing. Love so amazing.
Hallelujah. You hold in your hand a little wafer and a cup with some grape juice in it. These do not become the body and the blood of Christ. These are simply emblems that represent that. His body was broken and beaten for our physical healing. If you need healing tonight as you eat this bread, just say, I take healing. As we partake of this cup, it reminds us that we have been forgiven of all of our sins and we can live the life that God wants us to live. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your Son Jesus, who gave his life that we might have life. We give him all the glory and all the praise and all the honor. It's because of him that we have spiritual life and natural life. It's because of him that we have healing and hope. It's because of him that we will live with you one of these days. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Break and eat. Shall we drink together? Let everyone in just your own way for just a moment thank God for what he's done for you. Father, I thank you for all that you've done for us. Father, I thank you that you've blessed my family. I thank you that you've blessed us in our ministry. I thank you for all that you've done. You've given us health and healing, prosperity. But most of all, you've forgiven us of our sins. I thank you, Father. I thank you. I just give you all the love. Thank you, Jesus.
Praise God. Hey, for you first-time guests, thanks for being with us. We do this again next Sunday night, 6 o'clock. Everybody come, okay? Bring somebody with you, okay? We're going to... I'm going to go to one door. She's going to go to the other door. We'll shake hands with you as you go out. I believe in being friendly with people. I believe in being touchable. Thank you for being with us today. God bless. We'll see you next week. You're dismissed.